I want to go to the third chapter of John. Thirty-fourth verse. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. This is talking about Christ. Could you imagine have the Spirit without measure? No. We couldn't handle that. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew that he would suffer many things. Knew all those things. Knew every man's heart. Even Judas. Can you imagine knowing that that man that's sitting right next to you, that eating beside you, that's walking with you, is going to turn you in? You know, and that is why in many instances we don't receive the Spirit of God. Because it defies the logic of man. We look at one another as, oh, you're my friend, or you're not my friend, or you're not someone that I think is worthy of the kingdom. God didn't say that. He knew who would follow him, who was sincere about wanting to know him, who was sincere about wanting that relationship with him. Who was sincere about being taught about the truths of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Verse 23 through the 28th. Are we ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labors, more abundant in stripes, more measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, I have won. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeying often in perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils of my own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting, often in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Paul. These were just some of the things that he suffered. You think like Christ, he knew all these things were going to happen to him. What did the Lord tell Ananias? And then you have to go back to Acts, the 9th chapter. Tenth verse. And there were certain disciples at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man which much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And this is the crunch. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, I think Paul knew that it was going to be a tough journey. But I don't think he knew how tough. You see, I'm kind of the same way. Once I started that journey, there's no turning back. You know, if we knew that all those things were going to happen to us, would we be like Paul, or would we just want to sit in the corner and say, I'll stay here blind? Even Christ. But he knew. He had that spirit given to him without measure. That he knew every man's heart. 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter. Ninth verse. For I am the least of the apostles. That am I not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He knew the things that he had done against our Lord and Savior were the things that drove him to do more. And as I said before, once you start this journey, you don't want to be turning back. He knew, and God knew what it was that Paul needed. When he stoned Stephen, or was there when it happened, he knew he'd persecuted, that it was innocent blood. That he had shed. things in our lives that change us into what God can use don't just happen by accident. They are for a reason, just like Paul. He knew the things that would change him, that would make him a servant of the Most High God. Hebrews 10. I'm going to jump around a little bit. There's a couple verses in here. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't want to turn around. We don't want to change our path. No matter how tough it gets, we want to continue on. You know, I appreciated my brother's sermon last week, and about relationship, and I believe that it is really important. And I looked up that word just and righteous, and they are the same word. I didn't doubt you, but. And I think just like Elisha, to see those battles that go on around us, the ability to know what it is that God is trying to tell us. There are no random acts of God. I say that because I believe that there is a reason that these trials come before us. In Romans, the 13th chapter, I'm going to start in the first verse. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You know, people say, I'm tempted of the devil, or I'm tempted of this. Those temptations come upon us for a reason, that we might overcome them. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God to revenge, to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Why does it say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Why does it say that? God is love. You hear it all the time. God's your protector. He's going to do all those things that you need done for you. Help you along your journey. There'll be no trials. And we are subject unto that power, whether we like it or not, even if we don't understand. And I have problems submitting to it, that we have the problem. You see, we go through life thinking that God is on my side and nothing bad is going to happen to us. We believe that there is a God and He pours out His blessings on us and we live happily ever after. Some have that happen to them, not too many. I don't know too many. And I believe if you do, you're cheated out of that relationship with Him. If you notice Paul, he didn't quite have it like that either. Pointed out some of the things that he suffered. And you see, and I believe that God wants us to be sure that this is what we want. Abraham, when he, like Paul, offered all that was physically important to him, was willing to offer it as a sacrifice. My brother talked about that last week. This was his son. And God gave him no wiggle room. Let's go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. It's better read in the Lord's words than I can do justice. And start in the second verse. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Didn't say Ishmael. Whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Are you sure you want to continue on this path? You see, our actions and our words don't always bear out our love for our God. Do I love the blessings that God pours out upon me? Do I? How bad do I love Him? You see, for ourselves, it's easy enough for ourselves to sacrifice. Or is it? When it becomes something that is so dear to you, whether it be your wife, whether it be your children, you see, for most, God is just that benevolent uncle, just always giving. Never asks anything. I want you to go to, in the Book of Mormon, page 551. And I'm going to start in the 26th verse to the 31st. Oh, and 26, and then I'm going to go to the 31st. I'm sorry. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunnings and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out. To go no more out. To lay hold upon the word. Look, I can go on forever about this word of God. Do we feast upon these words? Are they important to us? Or do we only hear them on Sunday? Let me go over to the 31st verse over on the next page. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray often, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, under the filling of their souls with joy and consolation. Yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. You go the next page over and it's a different story. They got past that humility. They got past that prayer. Pride. Look, the Book of Mormon is so plain, and yet there is so much opposition to it. And I believe it's meant to be. I mean, my wife said to me the other day, that it seems like when you bring up the Book of Mormon, people reject you, even though they know what kind of person you are. They reject you. I want you to go to the last chapter of Acts. And maybe this will explain things to you. It's the 28th chapter of Acts. The 25th verse. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Actually, I want to go back. The 24th. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. What was that one word? You ever thought what that was? Must have been something that was offensive, that they either wanted the truth or they didn't. I have a guess what it is, but it doesn't matter. You see, the Spirit was a thing that said, you don't want to hear this guy. This is offensive. Or you need to hear more. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto the people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of the people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You see, today, I think it's 3 words. The Book of Mormon. Because the truth of God isn't in them. That the plainness, they know nothing about this book other than what they've been told. And you're classed because you've even read it. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. You see, my God is the one that brings people to me. And I tell you what, I get to talk to a lot of people about the gospel. And in many instances, they'll say, well, there's one group of people that aren't going to make it. And I say, stop right there. Because I know exactly where they're going. I ask him. It says, the Bible mentions these things. This is your book. And then I show them. Are we offended? Because the gospel is offensive. If it was so easy to find that truth, this little congregation, and I say little, because some of these churches have thousands. Couldn't hold them. Look, there's lots of room for more people, isn't there? See many empty pews. It's not meant to be that way yet. supposed to struggle. And it's not about the numbers. You see, brothers and sisters, I desire a closer walk with my God. Even the afflictions that he puts upon me. And I believe Paul came to that same understanding. If you look in that first chapter of Galatians, where he says, I wasn't taught of men, but by the revelations of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what that relationship was like? I want that. I want that for each and every one of you. I want that you desire to know your God. That He would pour out His Spirit upon you in such power, without measure, that you would know Him. And so I thank you for the time. I pray that you received something out of this message today. And I hope and I pray that the Lord God will watch over you this week, even in our afflictions. Thank you very much. Amen.
Thank you, Trevor. We're going to use number 237 for our closing song. 237. I think I gave you an incorrect number. I can't read anymore. It's 287. They changed the bolt length on my bifocals, and things down here aren't visible to me. 287.